So Tory's goal was to make slavery impractical by undermining its commercial value, right?
That's correct. If he could get enough slaves to run away, then it would no longer pay to hold slaves on it because they would become basically worthless if they were all running away. And he felt that if they could get enough to run away, that he could break the back of slavery. Part of this also was to focus on the District of Columbia. And one of the things he did is he specifically went off to trying to persuade slaves of high-ranking government officials to run away to get more publicity for it.
Southern congressmen in particular.
Southern congressmen in particular, especially the congressmen who were the strongest adherents, the strongest supporters of slavery. He would specifically try and get their slaves to run away.
He made himself hard to like. I'm not saying that any abolitionist was running a popularity contest, but I mean, he mocked the slave owners whose slaves he recruited away.
No, Charles Tory was not out for a popularity contest, no question about it. But then neither was William Lloyd Garrison. And one of the things I was struck by is there were a lot of great individuals, but they weren't necessarily great personalities. They did great things historically, but they were very difficult people. And I would say the same is about Charles Tory and the same thing about William Lloyd Garrison. Neither one of these people would I particularly want to have dinner with.
You say Charles Tory would have liked and admired John Brown if he'd known him.
Yeah, Tory was one of three people that John Brown singled out as having been his heroes. And he would strongly have encouraged John Brown. In fact, if he were alive, I wouldn't be surprised if he had actually would have joined John Brown, because by then he thought this was going to be done only by force. That was going to be the only way to break slavery.
Well, is the raid at Harper's Ferry in October 1859, is that sort of a logical conclusion of where Charles Tory, a decade and a half earlier, was pushing the abolition movement, that kind of actually military action?
He was strongly moving toward military action. I mentioned that he held two pistols with him when he was finally caught. I think this is the direction he was moving in. So what John Brown did was a logical extension of what Charles Tory had started.
You write that one of the aspects of slavery that most troubled Tory and prompted him to become active against it was the sexual exploitation of female slaves.
Charles Tory was a deeply religious individual, and he had very, very conservative beliefs, especially very conservative sexual beliefs on it. It's clear from his diary that he kept at Yale when he was a university student on it. And one of the things that troubled him most about slavery was the hypocrisy of the white slaveholders who were then having children by their black slaves, by their black mistresses, and then selling their own children on it. And he publicized this as best he could. This was not an uncommon event. And he even put it in his abolitionist newspaper, identifying some of these people. And I think it was one of the driving forces behind his very strong beliefs was the hypocrisy of the white slaveholders and their black mistresses.
Do you think that it was his writings that brought it to the attention of Harriet Beecher Stowe? It's one of the themes of Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Well, Harriet Beecher Stowe was most impressed, I think, not by Charles Tory's writings, but by they had long discussions at the Cincinnati Seminary Theological School that her father was the director of. And she sat there, and over a period of several months, they had long discussions about slavery, including people who had been freed and including people who had formerly been slaveholders in the South. But as far as I know, Harriet Beecher Stowe, I saw no reference to her having read Charles Tory, although she might have.
One thing I realize I haven't asked you about is Charles Tory's family. When he was in jail, he was criticized for basically having not taken them into consideration, having put himself in done things that put him in jail and left his family with no support, et cetera.
Yeah, Charles Tory was criticized by his colleagues, even at that time, for not supporting his family properly. He had a wife and two small children on it, and he felt clearly that his slave work was more important than his family was, and let his father-in-law basically support his family. He was criticized for that, and I think properly so, by putting all else behind. His freeing the slaves became really the most important thing in his life, even more important than his family.
Well, thank you for your research on him. He is somebody we should know about.
Thank you. I hope we all will.